We saw what happened when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans several years ago. We just recently saw the earthquake situation in Haiti and now Chile. Governments are incapable of taking care of the big picture when a massive catastrophe occurs. You know, they may never be able to. I'm not sure we can fault
them. I don't
think
they can.
No.
It's outside of the scope of government. When you have something of that scale, especially something nationwide, you know, perhaps a regional disaster they can handle. But even with those, typically they're weather-related and or an earthquake, and it's just a matter of you know, picking through the rubble. But if you had a nationwide crisis, there's no way a government could tend to everyone's needs. It's just not going to happen. You're not even going to be able to pick up the phone and call, dial 911 and have any reasonable expectation of response.
Look, a sinkhole.
What I call yo-yo time.
Well,
you're on your own.
Let's say a sinkhole could swallow up Dubai. The whole thing is gone. And I don't think many Americans would even know it if it wasn't in the media or even be affected by it. But you're right. If something worldwide were to happen, some huge catastrophe, nukes everywhere, who knows what, it comes down to survival. Now, here's a big question, though. Do you want to survive when everything is in that kind of calamity?
Oh, I think so, certainly. It's a fundamental of human nature, the will to survive. Everyone, especially anyone that has children, wants to see them survive and thrive. And I think that given that as a baseline, the vast majority of people are not going to just roll over and play dead. They're going to do what it takes to get things back in a reasonable fashion of, you know, economic commerce, of law and order, and so forth.
Now, you're assuming we can get back to that. Right.
Well, you know, with some events, they say we had a worst case event, like a large asteroid strike, or a nuclear war. But for anything lesser, I think that it's basic human nature to want to be engaged with other people and to carry on, you know, a normal society. People aren't going to want to just hunker down indefinitely. At some point, they're going to say, okay, it's time to start trading with my neighbors, and then you branch out from there.
Tell me what's hot on Survival Blog.
Most recently, the most recent topics have been home birth. It was a recent article that generated a bunch of letters, and also had an email from a guy that was essentially advocating looting. And you should have seen the firestorm of comments that came out from people saying, well, you know, you're not just going to go harvest some rancher's cattle and get away with it. That's just not going to happen. Basically, everything in a modern society has an owner, and it would take massive depopulation. We're talking 90% depopulation before that norm would go away. If something isn't owned by someone, that person is going to have a rightful heir or an assign to that property, whether it's a car, a piece of land, or whatever. And so it's not realistic to think that there's going to be a lot of stuff laying around free for the taking. That's just theft, pure and simple.
Sure. Would you advocate shoot to kill if
it came down to it, yes, because unless people are willing to defend with lethal force their property, we could end up in a situation worse than Somalia is in, where you have true anarchy. And if we got down to an anarchist situation, given, again, the thin veneer of civilization that we have in modern times, we might not get back to normal commerce. So there has to be people that are willing to stand up for what's right, to see law and order restored. And even if they're not wearing badges, it's going to be a situation where communities are going to have to band together, just like what we saw happen in the wake of the earthquake in Chile, where individual neighborhoods essentially set up a neighborhood watch on steroids. And they were heavily armed, and they were, you know, ready, willing, and able to stop anyone that came into their neighborhood trying to loot.
Well, there's no doubt. Even neighborhoods now, without catastrophes, set up their own neighborhood watches. I just got an email today from the folks in the St. Louis area who said that some guy in a green car was spotted in the neighborhood near a school. And I'm telling you, this was like a buzzsaw. And everybody knew everything within a matter of minutes. Finally got to the point where the cops came in and checked it out. And it was just a kid who lived in the neighborhood. So all is well, all is calm. But you know, with
it's
this...
It's nice to see people vigilant.
Absolutely, because the time's going to come. The moment will occur where you're going to need those eyes and ears.
Sure.
And then...
That's what I describe in my novel, Patriots. The novel is set in the near future, and it's about an economic collapse. But in this particular situation, the power grid goes down, and then all bets are off because things just totally disintegrate, especially in the big cities and in the suburbs. And starting in the countryside, people start banding together and reestablishing free commerce and law and order, and essentially put the apple cart back on its wheels or the trolley back on its tracks, whatever imagery you want to use. But that's what it's going to take in a major disaster. It's going to take individual families, individual neighborhoods, communities banding together to put things back right.
All right,
we can't count on government to do it for us.
Let me give you the calamity, and you give me the scenario. Okay, here we are. We're on our program, and we're announcing that folks, this is not War of the Worlds. It's not happening yet. But we're announcing that a major X flare from the sun has just burst, and it's coming our way. It'll hit the planet in 2 days. We're not going to die from it physically, but it's going to wipe out the grid pattern. What happens? The grid pattern in every side, every country that was facing that side of the sun gets wiped out.
Right. Yeah. That happened actually in the 1850s. Mm-hmm. It's what's called the Carrington event.
Right.
But in those days, all they had was a few telegraph lines
exactly.
to worry about.
Exactly.
Nowadays, if we had an identical solar flare, it would take down the power grids. We have three here in the United States. And it would wipe out telecommunications. It would fry all the communication satellites. It would take out the entire GPS navigation system. It would be devastating. It would essentially be a natural form of electromagnetic pulse in terms of its effect.
I would probably be knocked off the air.
Oh, I'm sure you would.
Because, you know, we beam
by satellite. Even if your radio equipment was working, the power grid would be down. And how many days of backup fuel do you have for your backup generator?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't see network radio in a situation like that. You'll be lucky if you have, a few 2-meter repeaters running and CBs operating, and a few ham radio operators in the HF band operating, because everything else is going to be off the air.
That's true. The hams would help. They'd help a lot. And
they do. And whenever there is a disaster, that's one of the things that we stress in Survival Blog, is the importance to in every survival group to have at least a couple of people licensed as radio amateurs.
How long, if an X-flare came our way, because I see in terms of realistic scenarios, I see an X-flare as being highly probable. How about you?
Oh, sure. Okay. If you look at it historically, on average, once every 60 to 80 years, there's going to be a major solar storm. So we can count on it. It's just like we can count on a major earthquake anywhere on the Ring of Fire around the Pacific Ocean in any given decade. So it's not one of those if it happens. It's one of those when it happens.